we have today on this Thursday of the fourth week, the last part of chapter 5. The first part was, our Lord, if you remember, healed that man on the Sabbath. And he told him to pick up his mat and walk. And he picked up his mat and walked. And the Jews, now when you, if you can, mentally put quotation marks around the word, the Jews. It's not all the Jews. When John talks like this, he means those who are opposed to Jesus, mainly among the leadership, the Jews, not all the Jews. And it's quite important, you know. So, they tell him, you're not allowed to carry your mat. And who is he? I don't know, but Jesus found him on purpose in the temple. That pool was right next to the temple. And said, look out. You're healed. But don't sin anymore, lest something worse happen to you. So he went and told it's Jesus. So they went to Jesus because he told this man to break the Sabbath. That means he broke the Sabbath. And they want to accuse him. So they come there. And Jesus answers by saying, my Father works until now, and so do I. Well, in the Jewish tradition, I think I mentioned this before, in the jurisprudence, you see, they had to stop and think, well, it says that God rested on the Sabbath. But if he rested, like, totally, there'd be no more world, there'd be no more life. There wouldn't be any children born on the Sabbath, you know, it wouldn't be. And so they began to realize that there are things that God does, and they are unique to God, and he does them on the Sabbath as well as every other day. And they have various ways of, their minds are very symbolic, you know. The emperor once asked Rabbi Akiva, you say your God rests on the Sabbath, but he keeps everything going and moves the, you know, makes the air move and all the rest. And Akiva said, that's not even carrying anything 2 cubits. In other words, God is so, he doesn't work when he does that. He keeps the law, you know. For God to keep all the wind moving is less than for a man to carry a burden the allowed number of feet. It's nothing for God. The other answer is that it's God's prerogative. And that comes down as the people reflect. God gives life. He gives life. He restores life. That means he raises from the dead. And he also judges. He judges on the Sabbath day. You see. So Jesus is saying, my Father works until now and so do I, is saying, I have all the privileges of God. Simply and directly, I have all the privileges of God. And so he goes on to say in the part we didn't have, because we had the feast yesterday, the Annunciation, you see, the Father gives life and I give life. And what he really says, and well, we could look at it just for a minute. We don't have time for a lot of this. Jesus answered, my Father is at work until now, and so I am at work. And they wanted to kill him all the more because they knew exactly what he was saying. I have all the privileges of God. And then they get very angry. And you see, they can't understand how there can be equality without competition. And so our Lord begins to open up for us the incredible mystery of the Trinity. It's love. We are totally equal, totally equally eternal. And yet, I receive everything from the Father. I'm God, but I receive everything from the Father. If you look into your own heart, you can see in your imagination, you say, no, no, they got to have to sit down and work this out, you know. This is divine, infinite, totally selfless love. And so he says, amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Do you understand? I'm totally equal to the Father, but I don't do anything unless I see him do it. How hard that is for us. Our poor little shriveled up competitive minds, we don't get it. If I'm equal to the Father, I can do what I want. No. I'm equal to the Father in an act of love, and I watch him, and I don't move a muscle unless I see him do it, you see. And it goes on to say things. One of the most beautiful, the end of this, that section says, I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Because he says in this passage, meditate today on this. I'm glad we had the feast day, but you know, we missed this very important passage. The Father nor does the Father judge anyone. He has given all judgment to the Son. So just as God, the Father, you know, gives life and judges, so the Son gives life. In fact, all judgment has been given to him because he is the Son of Man, the place where God is revealed. And so then we have today this last part. If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. Or you could say better, my testimony is not valid. There's another who testifies on my behalf. And I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is valid. Then he starts to give a list. So the other one, another, that's the Father. Then he starts to talk about the ways the Father has stirred up witnesses. And then we'll come back to himself, see. John was a witness. Now, there's an interesting thing about witness. It has to be credible. You see, if I want to prove to you that a falling body falls 32 feet per second per second, we could go outside, I'd drop a golf ball, and you'd get a stopwatch, and you got it. You can prove that. Or, if we were debating something philosophically, I could establish it intellectually and prove it. But when you're dealing with an individual event, it's only witness. So, the Christian faith is witness. It witnesses to that Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, saved the whole world from sin. How are you going to prove that? All gods who die on crosses save the world from sin. Jesus was God and he died. You can't do that. You see, a witness is establishing something that doesn't come as a derivative from some principle or some experiment. Therefore, the witness has to be credible. When Peter stood up and said, you see this Holy Spirit poured out on all of us, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ was raised by the Father from the dead, and now being raised up to his right hand, he has poured out the Spirit, and that's what you see in here. That's a witness. God witnesses by the fact, and Peter witnesses by attesting to the fact. And if the witness isn't credible, nobody's going to believe him. You see why the Christian witness has to be credible. And as you know, the word in Greek for witness is martyr. Some people are so convinced of this that they would rather die than deny it. That's pretty credible. We will never change the world until we are credible. I told you the other day about that survey. Only 6% of Catholics think that they should go to some effort. Did I tell you about this? Oh, I got 1 minute. I'm going to tell you. They did a survey. About 60% of conservative Protestants think that it is important to preach the gospel. About 82% of conservative evangelicals think that it's important to preach the gospel. About 6% of Catholics think it's important to preach the gospel. What has happened? We send out thousands and thousands of young people, ordained if they're priests, consecrated if they're nuns, out to the whole world. Because it's so important that people know Jesus Christ. What happened? My friends, missionaries, most of them are dead. Because you go to a foreign country and you eat different food and you're in a whole, and you get sick and you die. Most missionary orders will tell you that, 30% or 40% of our people are dead before they're 50. And they know it before they go. Because it's so important. So Jesus finally comes back and says, the Father witnesses to me. That is, he impresses on you the knowledge of who I am. Now accept it.